I'm Antonio Grisefo, and this is the Brooklyn Monk in Asia podcast number 10. Anthony Bourdain, please. One of my greatest heroes is a bitter, self-absorbed chef from New York City who exploded into the world of travel writing and travel television like one of those 50-mile-an-hour gusts that blows off the Hudson River in the deepest winter. His name is Anthony Bourdain, and the only reason I didn't sue him for stealing my shtick of being the disgruntled New Yorker living abroad is because he's so much better at it than I am. When Anthony Bourdain was in the Middle East, he wanted to have a true Bedouin experience. To this end, he demanded that a goat be slaughtered in front of him and the whole carcass be roasted over an open pit. Sometimes when Tony gets hungry, something has to die, he laughed, watching the blood drain from the freshly slit neck. And make sure not to throw away the testicles, he yelled. I'm here to try new things. I was on one of my frantic trips to Taipei, waiting to see the editor of a magazine that I write for, when suddenly, over the English language radio in the waiting room, I heard the same Brooklyn twang that it took me years to perfect. Anthony Bourdain was in Taipei. What's more, he was only a few buildings away at the English language radio station. Right from the waiting room, I made several calls to see which newspapers would buy an interview if I could get one. The lucky winner was the only one which happened to answer the phone when they knew it was me that was calling. When editors hear your name and hang up, you know you've made an impact on the world of journalism. It wasn't so much that I needed money to motivate me to go meet my hero, but as a freelancer, I needed permission to use the paper's name to open the door at the radio station. And, as a freelancer, I also needed the money. I saw this as a win-win-win situation. I'd get to meet my hero, the newspaper would get a good story, I'd get some money, and Anthony Bourdain would get a write-up in a small English-language newspaper in Taiwan, which, I was certain, coupled with the TV show he does on the Travel Channel, would skyrocket his career. Even if Anthony Bourdain wouldn't normally take an interview on such short notice, I was hoping the fact that I was from Brooklyn and had the same name as him would get me in. If nothing else, maybe he wanted someone to commiserate with, or at least to abuse. With trembling hands, I dialed the phone, knowing that in a few mere moments, I would be talking to my idol. Now here's where the story gets stupid. One would think that the receptionist at an English language radio program would speak English, or at the very least, would understand English, but this was not the case. Luckily, I speak Mandarin quite well. So in that language, I said, Ni hao, ni hao, wo shi na ge Anthony, wo shi Dizi, wo yao gen na ge Anthony Bourdain shuo hua. Which basically means, I'm Antonio, I'm a journalist, and I want to talk to Anthony Bourdain. So the receptionist answers me in Mandarin. She goes, yes, who would you like to speak to? Anthony Bourdain, I repeated, trying not to let my excitement turn into frustration. Unbelievably, her response was, would you like to speak to someone? Yes, I would like to speak to Anthony Bourdain. What name, please? If I'd been gruff the third time, I was downright rude. Now, Anthony Bourdain, I shouted. Yes, and which person? As much as I couldn't believe that my attempts to meet my hero was being stymied by something as silly as a secretary who didn't recognize English names, I couldn't believe how childish I was getting. It was as if I were listening to someone else when I heard myself saying, I already told you and I'm not going to tell you again. But the receptionist remained unperturbed. Yes? And his name? I was wondering if she'd removed the headset. And I could hear her, but she couldn't hear me. Maybe she was in the next room boiling a pot of tea. Bourdain! Anthony Bourdain! Read my lips over the phone! We went on like this for 10 minutes. We were speaking Chinese the whole time, but she just couldn't grasp that Anthony was a person's name. Anthony! Anthony Bourdain! Anthony! It's a name! I tried taking another track. He is your guest today. Who? Anthony Bourdain! Which person? Now I felt like I'd walked into the middle of an Abbott and Costello skit, so I played the funny man to her straight man. No, he's on first, I said. Who is? Yes, I answered, giving her a taste of her own medicine. And you wish to speak to? Anthony Bourdain! What? She asked, confused. No, he's in the outfield, I answered. Although it was humorous, having ensnared the receptionist in my tangled web of vintage comedy, I knew it wasn't getting me any closer to meeting Anthony Bourdain. So I broke down the situation into the simplest of concepts, hoping she would eventually catch on. "You are a radio station, correct?" I asked, verifying.
"Yes."
"And you have guests on your radio shows?"
"Yes."
Now we were getting somewhere. I was already smiling, thinking how much Anthony Bourdain was going to love hearing this story. I figured two guys from the old neighborhood would probably grab a six-pack of Yoo-Hoo and some binoculars and climb onto the roof of the hotel, swapping stories while we checked out the windows across the street. It would be just like back in Brooklyn. "And these guests have names?" I asked, continuing with my winning line of questioning.
"Yes."
"And there's a guest today?"
"Yes."
"Okay, so now," I asked her, "what is his name?"
"I don't know," she answered.
"I do," I said triumphantly. "I know who the murderer is."
"Your guest is named Anthony Bourdain.
And I'd like to speak to him." Just as I thought I had won, she countered with, "To whom would you like to speak?" At this point, I gave up and just tried to leave a message. "Look, when the show is finished, there will be a tall white man with a large nose. Give him this message. Antonio from Brooklyn would like to talk to him."
"Who would like to talk to him?"
"Antonio," I said, but then it hit me. If she couldn't get Anthony, I didn't guess she'd do much better with Antonio. Without waiting for a reply, I hung up the phone and listened to someone else on the other side of town interviewing my hero in this Asian city a million light years from Brooklyn. Author's note: the Anthony Bourdain story was a 100% true account of something that really happened to me. Around this time, a magazine asked me to write a column called Culture Shock, which would be a series of humorous, if angry, stories about the difficulties faced by expats living in Taiwan. They accepted my first submission, Chinese Cookie Faux Pas, but when I submitted Anthony Bourdain, please, it was rejected. The editor had some strange notion that it belittled our Taiwanese hosts, and that some small percentage of the Chinese readers would be insulted. I, of course, was never very gracious about rejection, so I promised to change the story in favor of the Taiwanese and resubmit it. The rewritten, more positive version of the story was called Let Me Connect You with Anthony Bourdain, and it went like this. On a recent trip to Taipei, I was surprised to hear that my hero, celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain, was visiting our fair city. I called the radio station and was greeted by a highly intelligent, multilingual receptionist. After a friendly Sanskrit greeting, she rattled off a number of languages from French to Romansh, which she would be happy to speak with me. We eventually settled on a little-known dialect of medieval Norwegian, which was only spoken by nomadic herdsmen. I asked to speak to Mr. Bourdain. After politely correcting my faulty pronunciation of the rusty dialect, she informed me that Mr. Bourdain was in an interview. She dutifully took my name, number, and a brief message, which she faxed back to me for verification. Since it was only to be 20 minutes until Mr. Bourdain would be available, she offered me the choice of waiting for the call back, or if I would prefer to hold, she would be willing to recite a short biography of the British monarchs, beginning with the early Viking raiders. Afraid that my small Western brain might be unable to process so much information, I thanked her and hung up. 19 minutes and 11 seconds later, Anthony Bourdain called me. Not only did I get the interview, but we hit a series of all-night karaoke joints and did tequila shots till dawn. Ah, life in Taipei. A note about the author's note. Believe it or not, that second story was rejected too. The editor felt that some of the humor was forced and that the story still might be offensive to the Taiwanese. The life of the freelance writer is not worth living. But Anthony Bourdain, if you're out there, I tried my best to meet you. Please give me a call. Let's do some TV together. That's it for this episode of the Brooklyn Monk in Asia podcast. If you laughed or even smiled, please subscribe. Also, leave me a comment. I spend all my time talking, but I need to do some listening too. Now look, I got a few announcements to get through, but if you're willing to sit tight for a minute, I promise to connect you with Anthony Bourdain. You can see all my videos on YouTube, Brooklyn Monk 1, and follow me on Twitter, Brooklyn Monk. My new book is called Warrior Odyssey, and you can get it on Amazon.com. Did you ever see on the old Star Trek TV show when Captain Kirk fought the Gorn, the big lizard man? That fight scene was voted the worst fight scene in history. And as a result, it will be shown and reviewed at film schools for an eternity to teach students how not to write or act. Two things come to mind. One is,
I would like to be remembered at film schools. I'd settle for being remembered at cooking schools. Next, why are most Hollywood portrayals of lizard men negative? Surely, that's a generalization. There must be good lizard men out there. Ones who hold down jobs, stay with their baby's mama, keep out of trouble with the police, vote, pay their taxes. Lizards, and by extrapolation, lizard men, are always referred to as cold-blooded. Also very offensive. Once again, I am broke and dreaming of food, even considered eating some of the geckos that live on the wall of my hotel. Hence the lizard talk. Please don't let me eat a lizard. Instead, you can donate to the Keep Antonio Writing and Filming Fund on my website, speakingadventure.com. And if your house is infested with lizard men, I'd be happy to come and drive them out for a small fee. I just ask you to turn on the air conditioning way up high before I get there and lay in a large supply of dry ice. Anthony Bourdain, the ball is in your court. Let's do some travel TV together. And for all the other listeners out there, I'm the Brooklyn Monk in Asia, reminding you to go out and do something stupid today.